The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years ago, I heard a segment on public radio about a man in the Netherlands, his name was Mark Langendijk, who chose to end his life not by suicide but by euthanasia. He was 41 years old and he'd been struggling for years and years with alcoholism. And finally, after all those years, he decided that he would never be able to overcome his addiction and that he was living a life that wasn't worth living. And he obtained legal permission to plan his death. And what I heard on the radio was his brother, Marcel, who was talking about the day that his brother died, how he was surrounded by family, and how terrible their grief was. And he gave a portrait of this man who had lost all hope. Hope is a word that we use kind of casually. We say, "I hope it doesn't snow tomorrow." Or we say, "I hope you have a nice birthday." Or we say, "I hope these nice pants I found at the thrift shop will fit me." And we use the word hope as if it were no more than a kind of positive thinking. But the truth is, as this man, Mark, revealed, real hope is a matter of life and death. And this world that we live in is in great need of real hope. It's always in need of hope, but never more than today when people's lives and choices are so often ruled by fear and by anger and by anxiety and by despair. We have this American ideal of the self-made man, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, and as admirable as that sounds, it's left more people in ruins than it has in success and wealth. We are surrounded every day by people who are living lives without any hope. But into the dark shadows of the world's hopelessness, the light of Advent shines a ray of hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah said. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And today, Carol read these words from Paul's letter to the Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Advent is all about the coming of God into the world, and specifically it's about the coming of God who brings hope and who comes so that everybody who is lost or confused in the darkness of the world may not just find enough hope to keep hanging on by their fingernails, but may abound in hope. Clearly, what Paul is talking about, what Isaiah was talking about, is very different from good wishes and positive thoughts. He's talking about hope that has real muscle, hope that makes a difference, hope that's able to snatch a life out of the jaws of death. And we know, though it's good and important to be reminded every year that Advent is about hope and Jesus will come back to us as he promised, and that it is coming back, this whole broken creation with all its violence and corruption and suffering will finally be healed completely. We read those wonderful verses that Carol read today about the wolf snuggling up to the lamb and the leopard hanging out with the baby goat and the little child playing without a care in the world beside a nest of poisonous snakes. We read the prophecy of Isaiah, they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And those promises that there will surely be a time when pain and cruelty will be over and done with, when this whole dog-eat-dog existence that eats away at the souls of men will come to an end forever. That is joy and life to us who believe it. But we need more than that, and especially the world needs more than that. We need hope for today as well. We need hope that when the darkness around us is so impenetrable that we just don't feel like we can go on, when we've run out of our own fresh starts and our fresh strength, even then there's light to be found. We need to know that there's somebody out there who cares enough to come to us in our despair, who knows our name, who's big enough and strong enough to rescue us out of our despair. And in the season of Advent, we have that hope to share with the world. We have hope that's able to pierce the blackest darkness and reach the lowest depths. As Christians, we proclaim that God, the God of hope, was born into our world as a baby boy a little over 2,000 years ago. That is a historical fact. We proclaim that he will return in the course of time to restore our creation to all the goodness and kindness and beauty and perfect joy that it was meant to have. But we also proclaim that he is here right now because he promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. We human creatures have not been left hanging to muddle along as best we can, to follow the rules, to try to be good every day, and desperately to strive day by day to lift ourselves up by our frayed and tangled bootstraps. God did not leave us in that position. The truth is that when people feel helpless and hopeless in the face of something like alcoholism, or depression, or cancer, or divorce, or loss, it's not because they're weak. It's not because they're wimps. And if we dare to be honest, we have to admit they're not wrong to feel the way that they do. The world really does burden the human race with things that they cannot deal with, things that are too big for them. People are very fond of saying, Christians are very fond of saying, that God says he never gives us more trouble than we're able to deal with. But a lot of times that's just the old bootstrap mentality, wearing a Christian mask. The truth is there are a lot of things that happen to people that they shouldn't have to, that they cannot face alone. But the great good news of Advent is that we're not alone. We live in between those two great events of human history. The first coming, we Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then the second great event. Behold, it says in the Revelation of John, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. But here we are, right in the middle of those two great events. God's people abounding in hope, because the Spirit of the God of hope has made his home in us. So what does that mean? What does it look like for us to be people abounding in hope in the middle of a world that's abounding in despair? We can actually know what that looks like because Jesus came and showed us. He did it first. He walked that path before us. Jesus did not bring hope to the world by offering us all nice gold leaf Christmas card platitudes about hope. He didn't bring hope into the world by staying inside the four safe walls of the synagogue and teaching truths. He took hope out into the streets. He took hope to his neighbors. He took hope to people especially that nobody else wanted to bother with. He struck up conversations with unsavory characters like women and Samaritans. He let his important grown-up teaching time be interrupted by noisy children. Instead of shushing them, he welcomed them, took them into his arms. He hung out in the nasty part of town with poor people and sick people and prostitutes. He touched lepers, and nobody touches lepers. He gathered together this inner circle of friends that was made up of bumbling fishermen and political radicals and hot-headed young men and tax collectors and a traitor. Jesus never once in his life played it safe. He certainly never worried about his reputation. He got his hands dirty, and hope spread out from him like wildfire in dry grass. So as his people following him, abounding in hope, Jesus showed us that our job is to take hope out into the world, out to the hopeless. We don't have to go very far to find people in desperate need of hope. They live next door. They live down the street. They stand next to us in the checkout line at the grocery store. They sit at the tables of our community lunch. They're right next to us in the waiting room at the doctor's office. And we have so much hope that we can offer them. We have compassion, kindness, forgiveness, grace, sometimes just our presence, a listening ear. Compassion brings hope to the poor and the suffering. Kindness brings hope to the lonely. Forgiveness brings hope to somebody who's crushed under this burden of guilt and shame. Grace brings hope to those like Mark, like so many people who are battling addictions and depression, whose darkness is really, truly more than they can face alone. Hope is a matter of life and death, and it's ours for the sharing. We have it, not by any human effort of our own, not because we're great, victorious people, but because we bear his Spirit. But we have to get out there and share it. This is no time for us to play it safe either. In this holy season of Advent, may the God of hope fill us all with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And following the example of our Lord Jesus, who is our teacher, who is our hope, may we bring the great light of his hope out into the world, to the people around us who are walking in darkness. And I read a little article this morning that I really liked, so I wanted to read a little bit of that in closing. If hope isn't created for times such as these, when countries are divided, when civil war annihilates whole communities and sends refugees fleeing, when hungry children are ignored because their interests are of no interest to powerful entities, when human beings are trafficked by the thousands to be used for sex or cheap labor, When industry and wealth win over the health of the planet and all its creatures and the global community, if hope is not created for times such as these, then why have hope at all? So let's try Advent. Let's practice a hopeful way of being in the world. Amen.